if you have a Bible, let's get into Luke 17 is going to be our passage this morning that we're looking at. So Danny had a birthday recently, so I'm not allowed to say that she's older than me, so I won't say that, right? But she is. Now, I'll not also say how much, but 8%, that's how much older she is. So you can try and figure out the maths on that. And birthdays are now a big deal in our house because we've got a five-year-old, and so birthdays are the most exciting thing in the world. And so we have a ritual. The day before a birthday, the evening before, we have to decorate the house. And so there's bunting, and there's balloons, and there's, you know, the big sparkler candles, the really, like, dangerous ones. Those are the ones that are the best ones. If we can get them, we'll get them. I think Jack's ideal birthday is the house burning down. I'm pretty sure that's what he wants to see happen. And so birthdays are exciting, right? We have, like, a big fun day, and there's cake, and we go out for a meal or whatever it might be. You do your birthday thing. But then there's the day after the birthday. And you know that the day after your birthday, it's like all of the treats and all of the special treatment and the fact that, you know, I did the washing up or changed the nappies or whatever on Danny's birthday. Well, the next day, it's back to being the way it was before. And it can be a little bit anticlimactic, right? It can feel like that's kind of, okay, we're back to normal. And I was trying to think this week about how do we follow up a Sunday like last week, okay? Because I'm going to guess most of you were here last week. And for those that were, last week was awesome, yeah. Like last week was incredible. It was just an incredible Sunday. Sense of the presence of God, 15 baptisms, at least 4 people responding for salvation during the service. There have been probably very few Sundays in the history of Hope that have quite hit that level. Like it was just next level incredible. Everything about it. Word was good, you know. Everyone put on nice perfume. Like, it was good. It was just it was a good Sunday. It was awesome. Now, I believe we've got plenty of more good ones to come. I am not, here's what I'm not saying. That's not the high watermark, okay? We're going to have better Sundays than that. That's the start of something, though, right? Well, we can have better ones, right? But nonetheless, kind of a tough act to follow. Like, it's just a tough one. You get back into the normal routine, the normal rhythm. And the temptation is to try and top it and try and go, right, how can we get more excited this? How can we hype it up more? Like, it was so good. We've got to, like, force it this week to be at that level. We've got to have more people. It's got to be more crammed. And anything less than that is failure. And that's not what I want to do today. I want to do something very different and distinct from that. And there's an example of this in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 7 talks about Samuel is offering to God. Saul has just been made king, and the Philistines attack. And then it says that God thunders from heaven and throws the Philistines into confusion. And they win this enormous victory. And after the victory, they do this thing where they set up a stone in the place of the battle, and they call it Ebenezer, or that's how we would call it, Ebenezer. Would be more close to the original, but Ebenezer, which for those that know the hymn, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. It's like what that word means is, here's how far we've come by your help. This is how God has helped us. God has helped us this far. And so what I want to do today is a really different kind of thing. It'll not be my standard way of normally doing this, but I want us to just acknowledge what God is doing among us and say thank you to God for doing it. That's what I'm doing. I want us to do it corporately. I want us to do it together. So the passage that I'm going to use to sort of help us in that is Luke 17, and it's verse 11 through to verse 19, which is, many of you all knew the story. It's the passage of the 10 lepers. It says this. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way, for your faith has made you well. I think this is an interesting story, right? And there's lots of interesting stuff. You've got these, as we said, so you know the story, 10 guys all get healed, one goes back. And I often ask myself the question, and I don't know if you've asked this question about this story, why did the other 9 not go back? Why did the other 9 not go back and say thank you the way this man did? And I'm going to postulate I'm going to throw out there that I actually don't think that it's because they weren't thankful. I don't think these guys were bad guys. In fact, I think they were trying to do something good. You see, in the Old Testament law, there was a law given for if you were cleansed of leprosy, which is a pretty remarkable thing because there was no cure for leprosy, right? So they had a stipulation that if you got cleansed of leprosy, you were to do something, which is you were to go and show yourself to the priests, which is what Jesus commands them to do. Jesus is telling them to do what the Old Testament law says. Now, he tells them to do it, and they go and obey before they get healed. These guys are great. These guys are acting in faith. They don't complain. I don't think they're way off by any means. I think they're good, faithful guys. They're obeying firstly the Old Testament and then specifically the words of Jesus, which are backing up the Old Testament. And as they are going, the leprosy disappears. And I think the reason why they didn't go back was that they probably felt something along the lines of, we're contributing, our obedience is making this happen, and it's maybe a little bit fragile. It's maybe a little bit like this could be disturbed. If we stop obeying, maybe the leprosy will come back. If we turn back to say thank you, maybe it won't happen. It might stop the miracle. It might make the miracle not happen. So I think they were actually in some way trying to obey. But the issue is that they missed something that it was even greater that they had the opportunity to do, which was to overflow with thanks to God, to overflow with gratitude, to say, do you know what? Actually, we're more excited about thanking and acknowledging God than for the miracle. Like, we're more excited. It's like this tiny shift. The first ones are probably thinking we're going to get healed and then go back. The second one goes, I'm so excited. I'm going to say thank you. And then I'm going to go and do all the rest of it. And so he runs and he praises Jesus, falls on his feet. And what's interesting is, it doesn't ruin the miracle at all. It doesn't ruin what God is doing. It doesn't damage it. In fact, he gets an extra commendation. He gets an extra blessing. He gets more than he originally would have got and had just at the moment that Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priest. There's an extra blessing tied to his gratitude that he wouldn't have otherwise got. Which, you know, if you have kids, right, if they say thank you without being asked, mine don't, but if yours do, you're more inclined to give them more. And I'm not saying that we should show gratitude in order to get more, because that actually is ingratitude. It's just when there's real, genuine gratitude, God pours out more blessing. When you go, do you know what, Lord, I'm so thankful, you get more. You get more. God gives more. And so that is my aim today. I want to acknowledge the work of God that he's doing among us whilst we're in the middle of it and not worry about ruining it. Not worry about going, this thing is not fragile. When God is showing up in a place, do you know what? I'm not worried. The word jinxing something is not in the Bible, even in the Greek, right? You can go, do you know what? We can say that this thing exists. We can acknowledge this thing. We can say thank you for it. And actually, do you know what? It's not going to damage it. Now, God could stop doing what he's doing among us. And we'll talk a little bit about what he's doing among us. That'll be basically my whole message is going to be, here's the things that I'm seeing God doing. So he could stop, right? But he won't stop because we're acknowledging it and being thankful for it. God could have some other reason, right? He's God. He can decide whether he wants to move in that way or not move in that way. But I'm telling you this, it is not going to be, if he were to stop, it would not be because we said thank you in the midst of it. It won't be because we acknowledge it. So if this is going to be quite hope-centric, I'm going to be honest, right? If you're here from another church, that's kind of your fault. You should come here. I'm going to be honest, right? Okay? If you live abroad, move. I mean, you know, that's not my problem, right? It's going to be hope-focused, but it will have hopefully some useful principles. And what I plan to do is just intersperse a few moments of prayer through this to say thank you to God publicly for what he's doing among us. Okay, so are you with me? We'll do that together. Yeah, awesome. So let me frame it this way. I felt called to ministry at 17 years old, and I'm coming up on 34 and a half. Okay, if you can add 8% to that, you now know how old Danny is, right? And in that time, I've worked in some larger church, not massive, but large-ish churches. Been involved with planting churches, been to significant like conferences, stuff like that. Moved away, moved country a few times. And I've been trying to analyze and genuinely trying to go, is this just like recency bias or is this how I really feel? But this is how I really feel. I'm pretty sure. I've really thought about this. What I've seen over the last few months here has me more excited than anything I've seen in that time. Right, 17 years, this is the most excited I've been about something. I think it's been the best. I think it's been the best season of my ministry, my pursuit of ministry. It's been a joy to be part of. And I'll tell you why, I'll give you a few reasons, right? The first one is this. So this church started, it started long before I started coming here. It started with about maybe 70 to 80 core members, those that were here. Is that about right? It was a good, you know, good solid core of 70 to 80, fluctuated a wee bit up and down around that, and moved around various places, started in a sports club and then went to a barn. Now we're in this great cathedral that you see in front of you. We could paint the ceiling, do a Michelangelo fresco up there, it'd be awesome, right? And over that time, we've grown, and that's been really blessed by just people showing up. So, you know, last year we've sort of sat around 200-ish, you know, thereabouts. Prior to Christmas, that's what we were roughly getting on a Sunday, you know, 180, 190, 200. Obviously, some Sundays a bit bigger, some a bit less, but that would have been our average, which is awesome considering that most churches are not growing, right? So to be in a church that's seeing that trajectory in and of itself is marvelous and glorious. The last few weeks, so since about the start of February, we've been 250, 260, 270. Easter Sunday, we had 300 people show up. That's pretty significant. That's 30% growth in a couple of months period, right? If we keep that going for 6 years, I did the maths, we'll be at 108,000, okay? So there we go. This would be very impressive. I do want to praise God for that. I really do. I just think that's worth praising God for. Going, thank you, Lord. You brought a bunch of people here. And I've not personally seen that rate of growth in a church. Now, I know people that have. But can I be honest? Most of the time when you see growth like that, there's normally a notable practical cause. So like they've got a new building. New buildings are really helpful, right? Or they've got like a new cool senior pastor, you know, wears a denim jacket. You know, he's like, people show up, he's got a really good denim jacket, you have to go hear this guy preach or whatever. Or they've done a big marketing push, or even just like evangelism, like they've done some big thing, and there's normally like a practical cause. Now, we're trying to do things as well as we can, but can I be honest, in terms of what we've practically done different in that time period, pretty much nothing. We've been doing what we've been doing. We've been doing what we've been doing before that. And how do we get it to grow? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just look at it and go, I think God did that. I think it was one of those things where Paul plants, Apollos waters. God gives growth. God brings people along. We've been faithfully doing what we believe we're called to do. We're preaching, worshiping, praying, outreaching. And God is drawing people in the way that he hasn't done before. And to me, that's cooler. I'm going to be honest. That is more exciting than if we could go, oh yeah, well, we had this great strategy. It's like, no, it wasn't a great strategy. It was actually God showing up in our midst. There's no hack. It's just God at work. And one of the things that means, by the way, is that I'm guessing there's a number of people here, quite a number of people here, and you've not been here for more than a couple of months. Maybe you were coming a wee bit before that. Maybe you've been more regular recently. And I just want to let you know this morning that we are delighted that you're here. Like, if you're in that group, we're delighted that you're coming along to this church. And it's not, and I'm just saying that as a pastor who has to say that, right? Talking to the OGs, the ones who have been here from the beginning, there is such a joy over the fact that people are coming along to this church. There's such a thankfulness of like, wow, like God has brought a bunch of people here. And I wasn't here at this point. The people that started this church started it so that someone like you would come. They were excited about God doing something that people would come along. And so hopefully this is a place that's helping you. It's going to help you in your faith. Maybe you've come to faith through here. Maybe you've moved into the area. You're looking for a new community. Hey, do you know what? We want to bless you. I'd recommend you to Hope, by the way. We'll be running that again this term. Would love to do that. We have typically had, now, as I said, this is non-caravan owner's Sunday, right? But we've typically been very, very tight for space. As you can see, we've shifted. We had a bit of stage here. That's gone now. Got some extra rows of chairs in. We've got a wee bit more breathing room today, which is nice, okay, from time to time. Can I just say that that's a great issue to have? It's a wonderful problem. We're delighted to be having that problem. If we had no one here, it would be a much worse problem. We're really blessed that, you know what, we're cramming in. we're going to start stacking people vertically, hopefully soon. That's the plan, right? We've been looking at what we're going to do. We're going to move this stage back. Are we going to try and get somewhere to build? Look, we're looking at all of that stuff, right? You know, we'll figure out a solution in that regard. But we're excited about God bringing people, yeah? We are. And I genuinely believe this. I believe it's more than just hope. I think we're not going to be the only church that sees this. What I think is happening here is a sign of something that I think is happening more broadly in the Western world right now, which is that there is a genuine hunger. There has been a famine of the Word of God, a famine of the presence of God, a famine of places where people can go and hear truth. And not just in churches, but in the wider culture, it's like truth has been pushed to the sidelines. People are hungry for something true, for something real, for something tangible. People are looking for God. I've seen this really over the last few months. There's something of a turning that seems to be happening where there's a spiritual hunger that's being awakened. And I'm convinced, I know that might sound like, oh, like that's not what we're seeing. I think we're seeing it. I think we're starting to see an upturn that people are hungry. They don't even know what they're hungry for, but they are looking, they are searching. And it's because there has been such a lack of truth and such a presence of lies. There's been such a lack of the kingdom of God and such a presence of the kingdom of darkness that I think we're seeing a generation and we're starting to see a nation that's going to get hungry for the things of God. And so our aim in that as a church is to be this. We are not aiming to be the fanciest, the best, the whateverest, right? What we are aiming for is this, to be a place of spiritual food, to be a place of bread, to be a storehouse, to be a place where people can go along and go, what's being said there is true. That stands on something that is true. That is something bigger. That is something that can defeat the lies of our age. That is somewhere where God is at work. When we see so much darkness, this is a place of light. And I think if we do that, do you know what? People are going to show up because hungry people go where there's food. And so that is what we're going after. We're going after that as a church. And so we're praising God that people are coming. We're not going to try and do anything other than what we are. We're going to keep trying to do it well. We'll keep trying to improve, of course. But you know what? Our main thing is, can we be a place where there is God at work and the truth of God is proclaimed? And we're delighted that people are coming along to hear that and joining that with us. So I'm going to pray. I know this isn't me done. This is one of my, I said we're going to intersperse the prayers. I'm going to pray and we're just going to thank God for the people that are here, yeah? Lord, we thank you this morning that you've brought people into this place. Lord, we thank you for the ones that have been here, God, for years from the very beginning and even before. And Lord, we thank you for the ones that this is maybe their first week and anything in between. And Lord, we thank you that you're growing this church. Somehow we look around and we just see, look, you've done something in our midst and brought people along. And so right now we just acknowledge that. And we praise you for it, and we say, long may it continue, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the first thing, right? Second one is this. The presence of God. The presence of God in our midst. You know, when I started coming, I've been coming along here about 3-ish years. And when I started coming, the worship was great. It was strong, good music, well-led, sense of the presence. But in the last few weeks and months, there's been just a sense of like an outpouring of the presence of God that we haven't seen. Jen, we were chatting about it. You sent me a message. I threw it out to a few people of what they've seen. And there's something of just consistently encountering God every Sunday, which is remarkable. I'm going to be honest. I've been in a lot of church contexts. It's not easy to do that. And it's not even something, again, it's not something that we're doing. It's something God seems to be doing. There's been something that's been mighty. And I know that that's kind of subjective. I always wonder, whenever worship seems good and I'm in the presence of God, you can't sort of whip out a gloriometer and go, oh, there are 175 kilojoules of God's presence in the place this morning. Great. So I'm sort of wondering, it's like, is everybody else, like, are they getting what I'm getting? Like, are you getting what I'm getting? Yes, yes, praise God, awesome, great. Otherwise, I'd have to scrap this entire point. We'd get a shorter message. Don't want to do that, right? It's not something scientific, but it is something real. There's something real. And I want to honor the musical leadership of this church, right? We have a bunch of great, both people inside and out. And we'll get some names. So Jen, thank you. Lynn, Nigel, Jim, Sam, Lawrence, all of those in-house guys, thank you for the way you've led us recently. They've stepped up, haven't they? They've gone up a level. Yeah? Also want to thank all of you who are coming in and guest worship leading. So Stephen, Louise, Johnny on the drums. We've got different drummers every week. We've got other guys coming down. And they are also stepping up and entering in. And it's been so good. It's been such a blessing to be part of. Also, let's honor tech guys, video, all of that stuff, all the stuff that makes that happen. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It really is. It really is. Yeah. It's worth a round of applause. Give honor where it's due, yeah? And I said this at the start, it's also you as a congregation. It's all, like, these guys up here could do everything right, and if you're sitting there and going, I steadfastly refuse to enter in, there will be no presence of God in the place. We could kill it, right? You can kill it. You can. I'm not just saying that. That is absolutely true. And yet what I've seen recently is that your worship as a body has gone up. It's gone up. It's grown. It has developed. And it's been beautiful to see. I love worshiping with this church. I really do. I'm blessed by your worship. I mean that. I've said that to people specifically. It's like when I see you worship, it makes me worship more. And it's a good thing. And I'm not talking necessarily about physically. Look, you guys know I'm a double-hander, lifter, upper, rugby posts, right? That's my, okay, or at least I'm a ward in the try, okay? So you don't have to do that. You really don't. Like, you are welcome to in this church. A lot of people do. Great if you do. You don't have to worship like that. But we do want people to enter in. We do want people. There's something about singing loudly, I think, that really helps. It was great. I got up here. I could hear you guys. It was really good. It was really good. It's great to hear you worshiping. The Bible calls us to worship loudly. Psalm 90, just so you know, there's a Bible verse attached to this, right? Psalm 95, 1-2. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with a song of praise. The volume has gone up, and that's good. The tune... No, you're good in that too. You're doing well. You're doing well. It's awesome. And so the church is called to be that. The church should be a place of joyful corporate worship. And I often think about worship this way, right? Particularly corporate worship. If God is not worshipped well in his church on Sunday, he is not worshipped well anywhere. Like, this is the gathered body worshipping him. We get one opportunity a week to do it. We should give it stacks. We really should, and it's good that we're doing it, and I'm thankful for it. So, and thank you, by the way, also to the new people that have come in and got straight stuck into that. Like I've seen people, they've not been coming here long, and they're not standoffish, they're going for it. Thank you. It really, that's not necessarily an easy thing to do, people. It's easy to feel awkward in a new place. We don't want you to, okay? But thank you for stepping in, it's been good. We've seen the presence of God play out in a few other ways. Our prayer meetings midweek have been glorious recently. They really have. There's just a sense, there's been some of them recently where, I mean, I go in with a plan. Most of the time that plan gets killed within about 10 minutes because God's doing something else. It means I should probably listen to God better. But anyway, it's good. There's other stuff happening. Our small group recently has been just one of those places. I'm assuming that's happening in other places where it's like, we've just had these great prayer times together. We've seen some healings recently, like some really powerful, verifiable, some where it's been more of a, oh, well, we've really seen an answered prayer. We don't quite know if that was something bad or it wasn't, but there's something of a significant turnaround there. We've seen salvations recently. That's historically been perhaps a weaker point, not a great weak point to have. I'm going to be like, not one we want to have. We don't want to be a church where it's hard to get people saved, right? That's not our aim. At the same time, we're not going to be a church that sort of does the thing of tricking people to come in, and if they flinch during a response, we count them, right? It's just not our thing, right? What we want it to be real and balanced and holistic. We also want lots. We want lots of people come to real faith in this church. And I think we're starting to see a shift in that. Last few months, we've seen a number of people come to faith that have maybe surprised us. I've seen some personally. It's been a prayer point for us. Regularly praying, we want to see more people come to faith. I think there was something significant about last Sunday where there was 15 people got baptized. I recognize many of them have been walking with God for a long time. But nonetheless, there's something about that profession of faith. And we were praying into that before. We prayed into that in the midweek, that something would break in this church. that we would see more salvations. And then that Sunday, we saw more people come to faith in a service than we've seen come to faith before, right? We're believing for a shift in that regard. We've seen a whole ton of good stuff there. And by the way, these are things, so I'll just make a slight, this is more a theological point, but it's a worthwhile one. The presence of God and people coming to faith should go together, right? Those things are not set against one another. You see some churches, Easter's always a funny one. You get it on Twitter and you see what all the churches have done. And some have done some stuff that's a bit nonsense, right? I'm going to be honest. I saw a church, they did a full Easter reenactment of Back to the Future and Marty McFly was crucified for our sins, right? And I'm not kidding, all right? He was up on the clock tower, I guess electrocuted / crucified. That is nonsense, right? That's not the kind of church we're going to be. We're not trying to trick people in through the door. We're just not going to do that. I was chatting to a friend who's in a more sort of seeker-sensitive context. This was a while ago, but we'd had one of those great Sundays. I said, well, we had an awesome Sunday and, you know, really blessed by the presence of God. And they said, oh, that's great. We'd love to do more of that, but we're focused on reaching the lost. And I sort of went, oh. Like my little cheeky inner voice that I didn't say out loud was, I think if you want to help people find God in church, it might help if he's actually there. You can say, ouch, yeah, right? But that's true, right? Like people that are going to come to faith, they are coming here for God, right? So we should have God in our midst. God should be at work among us. It should be obvious that God is among us. Now, do we want to explain things? Do we want to make that accessible? Do we want to make that in a way that people understand? Do we want to avoid being completely weird? Yes, we do. But at the same time, we want the presence of God in our midst. And I believe it's going to lead to people coming to faith. That's what I'm believing for. And again, how did we do that? I don't know. How do we get more of the presence of God? I think prayer has been a big part of it. We've had an intercession team that have been praying regularly for years, since the commencement of this church and even before. There's something in that. We've had our midweek prayer. It's grown. We were getting about 10 at the start just over a year ago. Now we're up regularly about 30. That's a good percentage of our congregation coming and praying together. Also the fast that we did at the end of January. We were believing for God to break something. I think now we can look in hindsight and go, yeah, something happened there. Something significant happened in that. And so I'm thankful for the presence of God in our midst. And I would put it this way. I am thankful that whenever I leave this church, I think back to myself and I go, yeah, I met God today. I met God in church. I hope you have too. I really believe that. That's my second thing. Let me pray for that and then we'll do one more and we'll close. It's this one. So Lord, thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for moving among us. Thank you for your power and your glory. Thank you, Lord, that whenever we call on your name, you answer. And Lord, we're so blessed by your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you were poured out on your church and that we're seeing you in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, point three. I'll have to condense this one down a wee bit because I'm looking at time here. No, we're good. We started on time. You get an extra 20 minutes. There we go. We started promptly, but well, I'll not. I don't want to go too long because I want us to hang out a wee bit. I think that's important too. When I look around this church, do you know what I don't see? I don't see people that are all in the same age group. I don't see people that are all in the same economic category, probably. Don't know, I haven't checked everyone's finances, but you know, it seems to be a range. I don't see people that are even necessarily from the same background or even in exactly the same like secondary level theological camps on everything. We have a broad range of people in this church, and there's a demographic spread that goes the whole way up and the whole way down. We're really blessed by that. We're really blessed that there's a bunch of people here in their 80s and a bunch of people here in their, you know, primary school age. 25% of our church is under the age of 18. Praise God. That's awesome. Do you know, there was a study done in the Church of England. The average number of under 18s was 9. Not the average age, the average number of under 18s was 9. 9 people in that demographic. 25% had none. For us, that's 25% of the church. Praise God. Really good. We've got people from everywhere. We've got people from the far side of the world. We've got people from the far side of Bleary, right? So trek from Bleary. It's good. It's good. We've even got people from Hollywood County down, everybody. Come on. Like, we have people from everywhere. And we have, as I said, different secondary theological takes. We've got people in here that are like have a big charismatic background. Some, it's like, that's never been your background. Some maybe more reformed, some maybe less so. Some maybe more high church, some maybe more low church. And I think it's good for us to try and get on the same page. I think that's part of Craig's job primarily and my job secondarily, is like be of one mind in Christ. So it's good for us. That's kind of our job, is to convince you of some of those things, because there's an identity that's tied to some of those beliefs that's important. But nonetheless, we're so blessed by people that maybe have the odd disagreement, but still have unity. Still have unity. We're not looking for uniformity. We are looking for unity. We're looking for people that are agreed on the main things and have humility around the others. And there are people in this church, and I know, where they maybe have one or two disagreements, and we're still stunningly blessed by them because they're unified. They're with us. They're on board. And we want to be a church where it's like this, where it's like what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We can't say to you that we have no need of you. And we don't want you to say that you have no need of us. We want to be a church where everybody goes, we need you, you need us, we're in this together. And one of the blessings about the way we've grown recently is we've not just grown up, we seem to have grown closer to each other. There's a relational shift that's happened where people know each other better. People are hanging out longer. People are sticking around for coffee. And not everybody knows everyone, and that's okay. A church this size, you don't need to know everyone. But it's great that everybody can know someone. And I genuinely believe this is a church where you can do that. And if you're here and you go, oh, I don't know anyone, turn around and say hi to someone after the service. They might not have been here much longer than you. There is no sense, really, I genuinely mean this, whenever I talk to those who have been here for much longer, there isn't a sort of in-group, out-group vibe. Not on that end. I know it could, when you come in, you sort of maybe feel like everybody knows everyone. Do you know, on our end, that does not exist. If you've been here a week, we're delighted that you're here. We want to get to know you. We want to hang out with you. We want to have that unity together. We've been really, really blessed. Some things I want to tweak in that regard. We'd love to get more groups going. We could do with some more small groups. That'd be a wonderful thing to do. In the meantime, please just get stuck in. Prayer meetings, come to hangouts, hang out at the end, do all the social stuff we're doing. You know, get along to New to Hope, whatever it might be. But we've been blessed by that. And can I say that unity goes the whole way up, right? Let me, now that Craig's away, let me tell you what I really think about Craig. No, I will. Craig is awesome. I really mean that. I really genuinely mean that. I've worked for a number of different senior pastors and been very thankful for all of them. Craig is the one that I've enjoyed working with the most. And we really are on the same page on so much stuff, which is a blessing to me. Like, theologically, we're very close, which really helps because we don't step on each other's toes. Not too much, you know, like we genuinely see eye to eye. But not only that, he's supportive. I don't know, so Craig was telling me a story, and it came across in the story like someone who didn't come here thought that Craig would be a really nasty boss. I was like, Craig is an amazing boss. He's really supportive, really encouraging. With stuff, I've been doing stuff online recently for those that don't know, so posting videos and stuff. He gets emails about me now, okay? And he treats them with the same seriousness that he treats the emails about himself, which I'm very thankful for. They go straight to the junk folder, right? And nowhere else. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's a blessing. And so I just want to tell you, for those that are new, what's going on here is healthy. Like, it is. And I'm saying that as someone who sees that side of things. And I really genuinely mean that. How did that happen? I think when the world is going nuts, there's something about people pulling together, right? I was at an event a few weeks ago. There's a big Christian YouTuber called, his channel's called Pints with Aquinas. Very theological. He's Catholic, right? So, but very sincere, very believing, very warm towards people that aren't Catholic, right? So, Australian guy based in the States. And he was one of the first ones when I started doing some YouTube stuff. He cross-posted some of my stuff onto his channel and said, oh, go check this guy out. And it brought me a whole bunch of people in, and he's done it a few times since. It's been a real blessing. And so I was like, well, I want to go along and, you know, just say thank you to him in person and hear him, because I thought it'd be good to hear, right? It was really interesting. It was like the side room of a bar is where they did this Christian. No, it was a big side room, a few hundred people. They had a bar and everybody had drinks. I was like, Catholic events are different, right? Okay, this is interesting. And anyway, I got to chat to him, got to say thank you. It was great. He did recognize me, which was nice. Even if he hadn't, I'd have said. And so a quick natter. And then I was walking out and a couple of guys came up to me and they said, oh, are you Jamie? I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, we've seen your videos. We love them. Oh, very cool. I said, most Northern Irish question ever. Are you prods or are you Catholics? And they said, no, they looked around and went, we're freebies. I said, I hope you told no one you were coming here. They said, we haven't told a soul. It was hilarious. It was very funny. But Matt Fradd, he made this point during it. He said, when the enemies are at the gates, brothers stop fighting. I thought it was a great point. I was like, boom, that is so true. Part of the reason why I think we have unity is that there's a recognition that there's a spiritual war going on out there and that we have a part to play. And it's, do you know what? We could get into it over all of our disagreements. Like, we really could. And we could sit there and have big arguments and divisions. Now, it's good to talk about things. It's good to flesh these things out, right? So I'm not against like having good discussions or anything like that, not minimizing anything. But there's something about when you recognize there's a battle out there that makes you go, oh yeah, no, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. We're facing in the same direction. We're facing the same enemies. And I think the churches that don't recognize this often struggle with more division than those that do. I think there's something about recognizing that there's a battle going on that pulls people together and unifies them. And so I am delighted to be part of a church that there is a sense of togetherness, even with our difference. And I think actually part of the difference actually builds the togetherness in some way. There's something about everyone not being totally uniform that makes it okay to be a little bit different and still be part of this thing. I'm really delighted we're not just one portion of the demographic. I'm delighted we've got people from all over the place. And it's a sign to me, not just that God is doing something in the sort of, you know, in meetings, but he's doing something that's in our hearts where there's a warmth and a love and a generosity for each other that's really, really brilliant. It's really good, and I'm very, very thankful for it. So let's thank God for that, and then I say we'll close. We'll do a Craig close. I've got one more last point, I'm going to be honest, but that's my last main point. Lord, thank you. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the people that you are building this church with. Lord, thank you for the differences. Thank you for the qualities that each one brings. Thank you for, Lord, the way we can support one another in a way that we can't support ourselves. And Lord, we just pray that the unity of this church would grow and develop, even as we grow. We pray that we would do so together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so as I said, sort of last point. It's a very quick one. To me, what's most exciting of all, is this. Some churches, you find that you can have growth. You can have that, like, lots of people showing up. But it suddenly gets very stale. You know, it gets very, like, it can be dry. Maybe that's partly why it's grown. It's like, well, we've cut out some of the core stuff that we really want to do in order to make it more accessible. And that's not particularly appealing to me. A big dead church is not what we're aiming for, right? Other churches, you can have that sense of the presence of God, but that can be really met with like serious division. I mean, people that are really opposed to that. I know some of the ones in this church, you've seen that firsthand. It's like, you know, like God showed up, but then there was a whole bunch of people in the church that really weren't for that or it looking like that. And that can be one way or another. Sometimes that can be because people are very religious and you know, don't want to let God move. Sometimes it can be because God showing up, but people just went immediately batty, right? And, you know, just went crazy. Like, so there can be division with the presence of God. And some churches you get unity, but it's the sort of unity that you have with people on a cruise ship. It's like, we're not going anywhere or doing anything, so let's have pina coladas and conga lines. And like, that's the sort of, it's unity because there's no oomph. There's nothing going on. It's just it's a very, very shallow unity. And to me, what's really exciting, and this is why I think I'm most excited, is that all of these things are happening at once. These things are happening together at the same time. And to me, that looks like a work of God. That doesn't look like something we've manufactured. It doesn't look like something that we've created in ourselves. It looks like God is showing up in our midst. Now, to be clear, I say this for primarily sort of folks that are new, but those of you that are here, it's useful for you to hear too. I'm not saying that we're a perfect church, right? We're not. There will be things that you go, oh, I wish we did more of that. And can I be honest? If you ask me, probably me too, whatever that is. I'll probably go, yeah, I agree. I wish we did more of that. I wish we were more like it. Yeah, sure. Totally agreed. And there'll be people that God calls on from this church for a good reason. That's great. We're really for that. There'll be also people that leave because maybe they get something wrong. That's not what we're aiming for. There'll be also people that maybe leave this church because we get something wrong as a church. Like we will not be a perfect church. I'm just saying that. I'm excited about this church. I am not putting this church on some unhealthy pedestal. We're not the only show in town. But is it a good church? Yeah. Is it healthy? Yeah. It really is. And if you're here and you're going, what's this place like? This is my honest assessment, is that it's good and that it's healthy. There's something good going on here. So I'm not promising perfection, but I am saying if you're looking at this place and you're going, what do you think? I think being here is good. I think what's happening here is good. I think there's a few things moving forwards. If you're here and you agree with me that this church is good, you're like, yeah, what's going on here is exciting. We're excited to be part of it. Your responsibility has just increased, right? It has. The guy that was given 5 talents had more responsibility than the one who had 2 and the one who had 1. And I'm not saying that we're a 5-talent church. It's not that. But if you think it's good, you are now responsible for doing something with that. And the temptation can be when it's good, it's like, oh, we'll just coast because it's good already. But it's not just about you, actually. How can you make it better for those that are coming after? So 4 sort of one-sentence things on what I think we can do moving forwards to continue this and to keep it good and to get it even better. Number 1 is this. I want us to keep praying. I really do believe that prayer has shifted this. Whatever that looks like, whether that's coming along the midweek, getting involved with the intercession team, whether that is, as I said, the fast. Like if you've been blessed by the results of the fast and you weren't involved in doing the fast last time, get stuck in some way next time. See, when we do it again, there's an opportunity there. Let's keep praying. Keep pressing in that way. Number 2 is, let's get stuck in. Like if you're on the sidelines, brilliant. Like we're delighted that you're here, but we also do want you to get involved. You've got something to offer. You've got something to add. You've got something to give. Let's ensure that we're getting stuck in properly. So if that's New to Hope, if that's a group, if that's a team, I would also say that if we have an opportunity for a building and you think this church is good and should have more people in it, you can help in that regard. You can be generous towards this church and we will use it well. We're healthy with our finances. We're good with our finances. And so if you feel that this is something, I just want to throw that out there. It's like, let's get ready to do that. Number 3 is this. Let's not sin against each other. I know that sounds like really basic, but so much of the New Testament, there's all these warnings about like, don't quarrel and don't gossip and don't have factions and don't have division. And that can take something that's really good and tear it apart. And so if you have an issue with someone else, can I urge you that the thing to not do is to sin against them in return? If someone sins against you, 2 options. One is you deal with it properly, deal with it in a holy manner. You deal with it, you know, it's okay to talk about issues and raise them and all of that. You can do that, that's no problem. Or the other one is you can just let love cover it. Love covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that sin is okay. What it means is not every sin needs dealt with. Sometimes you can just go, I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to deal with that. That's okay. But those are your 2 options. Let's not sin against one another. Let's keep short accounts. And the 4th one is what we've tried to do this morning. Let's maintain thankfulness to God for what he's doing in our midst. Let's say thank you, Lord. If you're blessed after you leave something from this church, if you leave a Sunday service, you leave a small group, you go and hang out with someone, you have a good conversation, say thanks to God. Be thankful. It will honestly increase how much we're seeing. If you go, do you know what? Thank you, Lord. That's how you stay in the blessing. You express your thanksgiving to God. Amen.